The reading this morning is from the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John, chapter 12, beginning at the 12th verse. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Lord, may what we share be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, by our arrangement, you may have guessed that today we're doing a church chat. If you've not been with us before, a church chat is sometimes better than a sermon, I think, but it's different to a sermon. It's a conversation between a couple of people about what is meaningful about particularly the Bible reading today. And today I've, by my side, my good friend Todd. We often see Todd behind the scenes, but Todd, can you tell us a little about yourself for those who don't know you?
Well, hello, everybody. Hello, church. Great to be here. And I'm sorry, but Stuart's given me a microphone. So
Dangerous.
I'm known to many of the community here as the head of middle school at All Saints. It's been a great privilege for me to be in that role, and also to be part of this church and have my daughter help lead music ministry up here. My son play on the cajon. He's now gone to the con to do musical theatre with Annie. Shout out to Annie, who's also doing music. I think it's amazing to get into musical theatre. So Annika, I think a round of applause for Annika for getting in from the church. It is pretty incredible. My wife, who's a Catholic.
That's okay. My wife's a Catholic too.
She's actually over at St. Benedict's leading liturgy this afternoon, this morning. So she's, but often here as well. But we are all together drama queens, performing artists who very much are part of musical theatre and performance. And it's a great blessing and joy of my life to have been in that role as well.
Yeah, so you might be able to get the thread that we started asking that question about what your favourite show is. But last week, if you were with us, we had a Bible reading that immediately follows the passage that Bruno read for us this morning. And that Bible reading, as part of it, we hear the audible voice of God. And in my sermon last week, I did encourage us to consider how we might hear the voice of God. And I was having a conversation with Todd through the week, and you had an interesting response to that question about how you hear the voice of God.
I think anybody that sits in this service thinks of Paul dropping his voice down about 15 octaves to talk like the voice of God. You can't help but do that sometimes. But for mine, I think of God as his voice, or God's voice being music, being song. I think you look at how many performers, thinking right back to the Beatles, up to the Adele now, who when you hear their speaking voice, they can have this incredible, you know, incredible Cockney accent, but then they sing and it is the voice of an angel. And when we come together in voice, and I love this service, I loved hearing the 7:30 service sing a different type of music in harmony too, but when you have voices in a chord, it suddenly feels moving and special. So I think the voice of God which must be in accord and must be in perfect unity, would be a song. And I think if you look at history, so many people, so many humans have tried to encapsulate that, to understand the music of the spheres they talk about. Even Pythagoras worked out that the the pitch of a note is inversely proportional to the length of the string that produces it. He tried to find a way of the ratios the whole universe was put together, and God sings that beautiful song that is the universe.
Yeah, it's a great idea. And you might be wondering, what on earth has this got to do with Palm Sunday? Well, let me explain. So you would have heard that, as Bruno read, that the crowd are shouting. Now, the Greek word for shouting that's used in our English translation means to cry out. And so I want you to ask yourself, what are they crying out? Well, it just so happens they're crying out the words of Psalm. And that particular psalm is Psalm 118, or part of it. And what are the psalms? They are songs. The psalms are the songbook of the people of God. So can you imagine that Jesus coming in riding on this donkey is surrounded by a crowd crying out in song? When you think about it that way, does it change the perception for you? They're not shouting like you might imagine. Todd mentioned the Beatles. When you look back at the black and white footage of the Beatles first coming to Australia with a screaming in fandom, recent visits from superstars like Taylor Swift, when the crowd yells out, there's a great viral video going around with a lady who was singing along to Taylor Swift, but her singing was just screaming. This is not what I imagine as they're shouting or crying out this psalm. There's melody to it. There's reason behind it. And as we explore this idea that Jesus is entering into Jerusalem surrounded by song, I want you to ask yourself, how does, as Todd indicated, how does God's song sing over us? But how do we sing into our world? There's many experiences that we've all had. There's nothing better than being surrounded by beautiful music. Each year, the All Saints students come into this space and do what they call a give-a-thon concert. And the strings ensemble and the choirs come in, fill this space with glorious music. And it just lifts my heart. There's nothing better than being in a crowded church belting out a song or a hymn that everybody knows. But many of us have that experience outside of the church. And Todd, with your drama queen background, I'd love you to share about a meaningful experience that you've had with a performance.
I'm glad you asked me meaningful. Asking anybody involved in performing arts, what was your favourite performance, is like asking a parent, which is your favourite child. Each of them you invest emotionally, physically, in such a way, they all mean something. But I can answer, the one that's the most impactful for me was in 2009. And in 2009, that was before I came to the Gold Coast, I was in Toowoomba, and I was blessed to perform or to direct a performance of Jesus Christ Superstar in the Empire Theatre up there. Now, the Empire Theatre, if you get a chance to see it, is the most beautiful theatre. It's a 1,600-seat, glorious theatre. And we, as Toowoomba Grammar School, a school of all boys, invited all the girls' schools in town to have a cast together. So we ended up having 300 students on stage in this three-tiered scaffolded set. And we followed the story of Jesus from the entrance to Jerusalem, from the song Hosanna, which you sing, right through to his death and resurrection. And I can't think of a show. I've been side stage and blessed to be there for so many shows, and I'm at a school that does extraordinary shows. But this was something else, because we'd get to the end of each of the five performances, which were full houses, they were sold out. And we'd get to the end of the show whereby, you'll see a picture here, a couple of pictures, if we can actually cut through to the second one first, where Jesus has the crown of thorns thrust on his head by one of the guards. And if we go to the previous shot, this incredibly impactful moment where Jesus is strung up on the cross. Now, this is actually looks a bit undramatic because it's got a fairy harness on, but I'll talk more about that later on. But we see this solemn moment where Jesus is about to die. Now, I've been at the end of shows for applause. That's something special. It's a great privilege of a performer to actually receive that from an audience. But for each of the five shows, what was different for this show was that it finished with Jesus's resurrection. And there was a stunned silence across the crowd. And there was this incredible intake of breath as people gathered their thoughts. And then people cried. There was sobbing. I'm really sorry. There was sobbing everywhere across the stage. The audience, but also the stage. These three men that are in that photo, these three young men, 18-year-old boys who are rugby, cricket players, etc. I spared them. There's a photo of them with literally tears down their cheeks. It was such an impactful moment. So that show, why I see it as so impactful, is that you walk as an audience alongside Jesus for that Lenten week. That's this last week from Palm Sunday through to the resurrection. And I can't think of a more impactful experience than that. And that's why I love the fact that Anglicans do Easter hardcore.
Hardcore. And really what I wanted to share as a response to that is that I wonder whether we can have that sort of impact this Easter. Because I kind of wonder whether we've become desensitized to the Easter story. If you've grown up like me, you've had Easter services your whole life. But one of the amazing things that Todd shared, not everybody's had that experience. And capturing that experience for the first time, but could that first time be every time as well? And I wonder whether this Easter we can actually be truly moved by Jesus and with Jesus. And so I want us to come back to this scene of Jesus coming in to a singing crowd, saying, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And it kind of seems like the wrong song, doesn't it? Jesus is not on a mighty horse leading a Roman triumphal entry. He's on a simple, humble donkey. Palms and cloaks are laid in reverence. But I want us to try and imagine how that feels like for Jesus. I wonder if you've ever had that sense of disconnect when you're feeling something and all around you, everybody else seems to be feeling something different. I suspect that happens quite regularly in a school context and also a performance context, Todd. Can you share with us what it means for you to imagine yourself in Jesus' shoes that particular Palm Sunday?
Well, I think every year 12 that goes to All Saints or in other schools, I know that King's Christian College does the same thing. They have what's called a tunnel of love at the end of the year where the year 12s graduate. And we have this wonderful assembly where the year 12s get to sing to the school their cohort song. And then they move from that assembly, the school moves away, and we have this incredible tunnel, a two-column tunnel of students from prep right through to year 11. And every year 12, and we've got people in the room that have done this, who walk through that throng of people. And as a community, obviously our hearts are full and we're singing joy into them and hope and that sort of thing. But you can imagine for every one of those students walking that path through that tunnel of love, every single one of them will have a different journey. Everyone will be walking one step towards an uncertain future, which we all face. And it's no surprise that many of the Year 12s that go through that process end up changed and emotional and crying their hearts out because of that incredible journey. So that's what I see. Jesus was prescient and knew what was to come. It's different from our Year 12s, but he was on that colt and took that journey into Jerusalem, which I think is one of the most extraordinary things.
Many of you know that in a former life, I used to try and want to be a Christian rock star. I was in a Christian band, and the biggest performance that we ever had was in the Great Hall of Newcastle University, packed auditorium for the visit of the Archbishop of Canterbury. And so we were really privileged to be invited to play a set of about four or five songs during the time. However, it was our worst performance ever, because that particular room was not designed for our type of music. And so I was on stage singing and playing guitar and hearing myself sing, but then hearing myself come bounce back at me, and it was a total mess. Todd, I wonder whether you can talk us through the idea that while there's harmony, there's often discord, but also that discord can actually move us somewhere as well.
Well, I'll take you back to this moment. If you can take us up to the crucifixion scene, this moment. If you've seen the show, if you're not aware of the show, what happens at the end, obviously, we get to the end of the show where Jesus is crucified. And the reason the young man's in a harness, he's in a fairy harness with a special smaller crucifix strapped to his back, sleight of hand on stage that we did as he's being nailed to the cross. And the final pieces of music accompany the death of Jesus, and it's incredibly discordant. It's chaotic. So we had a band of 50. The drum is doing rolls all over the place. The guitars is doing this sort of really spasmodic guitar riffs. There's blarps of trumpets and all sorts of chaotic music. The instruction is just to literally create chaos, and it gets louder and it's louder, and it becomes so offensive to the ear that you really feel as an audience you just want to call out and say, stop. And that's exactly what Jesus, he cries out, it is finished. And there's this beautiful beat, and then the orchestra comes back in this incredibly harmonious series of notes, long sustained notes that lift you as an audience. And for us in our performance, the cross detached and Jesus slowly ascended up into the tower. That's when the tears came out. It's, so from out of the discord came this incredible harmony, and you're only able to appreciate the harmony, the joy and the beauty of the harmony, because of the chaos that came beforehand.
So as we begin our journey into Holy Week, isn't there such a sense of chaos when we look around our world? Click on news.com, the bulletin website, looking at international news on our television. There is so much that breaks our heart outside ourselves. But what if we actually look at our own lives and the chaos within ourselves? That disconnectedness and discord that we each experience from time to time, the brokenness that we have that Christians call sin, and what that does and impacts our relationship with others. And we see Jesus this week betrayed, handed over, beaten, and offered up. The discord of that, how does that speak into the discord of our lives? But where does the harmony come? The harmony comes as Jesus says, it is finished. and then resurrection comes. My prayer for us as we journey this week is that this Holy Week would indeed be profound and meaningful. That we would not be desensitized, because we've heard this story before and we just can't wait till Stuart smashes another egg on his head on Easter Day, which I will do, by the way. But instead, we might let ourselves be moved. And as we are moved, we will be in harmony with others who are also moved. And what a beautiful song to sing over a chaotic world when the church is moved by this story. Amen. It seems appropriate that we might sing again, so let's stand together.